Hey friends, if you know me, you likely know that I have a sweet spot in my heart for veterans. My father has a Purple Heart and the scars to show for it. Just recently, I learned that a common side effect of PTSD is hoarding. And those of us with aging parents have seen how quickly a lifetime of memories and keepsakes get stacked in boxes and closets, causing more and more clutter and stress over time. My friends at Floor to Ceiling Home Healing are helping hundreds of folks, veterans included, in residential and commercial settings with decluttering, packing, organizing, itemized liquidations, and even biohazard and hoarding cleanup. They are offering a 20% off discount to our listeners here at Shockin' Y'all. So you can learn more by calling 424-272-8892 or visit their website, www.fchhspaces.com. You can also text Nicole 20, your full name, your phone number, and email to that same phone number, 424-272-8892. You'll receive a 20% off discount just because you're a Shockin' Y'all listener. My friends, we are not meant to do it all alone. The team at FCHH is here to help. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Shock and Y'all, a podcast about our mental and physical fitness, spirituality, and your big, bold life. I'm your host, Nicole Shaka, and I am so grateful you're here. I train bodies for a living, but I'm even more interested in harnessing the mind and elevating your spirit. Every week, I'm speaking with exceptional humans or experts in their field, or folks who genuinely have a unique and valuable insight we can all benefit from. So get cozy, or lace up your shoes, or keep your eyes on the road. And let's drop right in. Oh, hey, y'all. Welcome back. It is with great pleasure that I introduce to you my friend Ace. In this episode, we are discussing joy as a foundation for this human experience. We talk about the beauty of ritual and yoga practice. And just wait for her take on forgiveness. Oh my gosh, the true meaning of forgiveness and the freedom we enjoy on the other side. She left me speechless. I did ask her to marry me. That's not the first time that's happened. I can't wait for you to hear this one. Let's dive right in. Yes, yes, yes. It's Ace. I mean, she has a real full name, Alicia Crystal Easter, but I just say Ace, and I want to tell you all about her. Ace is the queen of joy. She is always with a smile, always full of life and exuding literally dripping joy. When she came to my class, I was flattered. And when she kept coming back, I was humbled. We bonded over our Alabama connection, War Damn Eagle. And I speak from experience when I say being in her presence is a frequency shifter. She elevates the space around her and always shows up in fabulous style and with a childlike spirit. And we definitely have that in common, the spirit part. I'm still working on my style. Her presence is joy and motion, and she is a true gift to us all. Please welcome Ace.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
That is like, oh my goodness. How have we just like started and I'm already about to cry?
Well, we like crying around here. We did it 3 years ago, but now we just dive right into tears.
We just dive right into tears and... No one's written me a love letter in a long time.
Oh my gosh.
And I love that. I love you. Thank you so much for that beautiful, like, just kind of intro. I mean, it's so awesome to be here and it's so awesome to know you and to learn from you and to grow with you. And you definitely like helped me shift a lot of things during the pandemic. When even if it was just like I didn't have weights in my house, so I would, you know, weight lift with bottles of champagne.
Wait, that was you?
That was me.
Do you know how many times I've told this story? I'm like, you guys, somebody in 2020 had two bottles of champagne. It was you? This is for my entire fit group, my online group that I'm working with now. I've mentioned it probably for like the last 4 months. I've mentioned the girl with the champagne bottles. I'm like, I cannot remember who had champagne bottles. It was the mystery is solved. Me. I can retire.
That's so funny. Ugh. It's because I was like, listen, like I like this class and it's getting me, you know, I'm lifting weights again and I'm doing, you know, because when all the studios were closed and stuff, yeah. And I wasn't I was never one that was like, I'm going to go to a yoga sculpt class or go and lift weights or anything like that. I would just do yoga and walk and, you know, I was active. And of course I, you know, like lifting weights and stuff. Obviously I do it now, but it was really pivotal to kind of me coming into the place where I am now, where we'll probably get into it, mm-hmm. but where I'm waking up at 4 a.m., 4:30 in the morning and going to work out at 5 a.m. and doing really hard workouts where it's, you know, lifting heavy. And I said this the other day because I was lifting boxes. I was taking boxes of yoga mats down from my friend's house for our class. And I was carrying a couple at a time. And she said, wow, you're really strong. How can you lift? And I was like, well, I mean, I don't lift weights just to go to the gym to lift weights. I lift weights so I can carry heavy shit. Mm-hmm. I can like move stuff. I can move things without thinking about it. I'm someone that I met last year and she's a fitness instructor and has been doing it for, I think Trisha's been doing it for what, like probably 30 years or something like that. Oh, wow. And so she's been doing it a while. And she said, you know, I strength and conditioning, I weight train all these things so I can be ready. And I just felt that landed with me because you don't, I mean, I have, and I'm sure it was before Snoop who said this, but I'm giving Snoop the dog father credit. You stay ready so you never have to get ready. And I am in practice of that more than ever. And I'm doing my best to get the people that I work with daily, get my clients, you know, get even myself, just keeping myself on my toes in the sense where it's like, I stay ready. So I never have to get ready. And so of course it goes back to physical for me, which is just what everything does. So, yeah.
I know. I had multiple thoughts as you were speaking right there, but I love this concept of staying ready because I think during the pandemic, that was what was most obvious to me, was how not ready we were, to sit with our own feelings and thoughts, how not ready we were to process. I'm going there. Like the show, this world is a show.
It's a show.
This world is a stage. And a lot of us have unconsciously bought into that and have been just a little bit asleep in terms of, you know, our ability to show up authentically as ourselves within a show. I'm kind of going off the rails. My point is staying ready, meaning having your sleep in check, having your friend circle in check, having your emotional self-regulated self in check. All of that is like, that's the name of the game, right? It's
exactly.
Not, can I buy a lake house and a boat? I don't know, whatever. That stuff's fine. Those things are great. But to me, I want to manage this inside business so that I'm always ready. So if we go through anything like that again, I'm just, I can pick up my own box of yoga mats. I can pick up whatever, my dog.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're definitely going to get into this, but even the fact of like staying ready to know what you need.
Oh yeah.
So it's staying ready to knowing what you need and knowing what you don't need. It's being able to eloquently set a boundary for yourself or someone. It's the readiness of it all. It's why I called I still have a few items left, but it's one of my candles. I am ready. I would name it at the start of 2022. And I was like, okay, I'm ready for what this year is going to bring. I'm ready. I very much did not, obviously wasn't expecting 2020. No one was. And then I was not even sure where my head was going to be at the start of 2021, because that was the first year me embarking on full on entrepreneurship.
Right.
And so then it was like in 2022, oh, okay, I'm ready. Yeah. Even though I'm not sure I was, but here we are. So I guess I was ready.
But you were getting ready to stay ready.
I was getting ready to stay ready. So yes.
I think my second episode, I did a solo cast when I launched this thing, and it was all about you're not ready. And I was talking about myself, like the most important things that I've done in this life, I was 100% not ready for. And by important, I mean, that had the gravitas, like the things that were really asking the most of me, I was not ready for. Right. But they were also so transformative and so chapter shifting for me. It's wild. Yeah. I want to start with my very favorite question. out of my questions. Were you, would you say, born as joyful as this? Or do you think this was acquired over time and through hardship and lessons and what have you? I'm just so curious, because when people are watching this, they're going to be like, wow, you can just see it. It just radiates off of you. It's coming out of your ear holes. It's coming out of your smile. Like, it's the most joy in one face ever. And so I'm just curious where that began and how you manage it.
I love this question. I always joke that I was born with a to-do list. So I think that because I've just always been busy. Like, I've always had stuff to do, places to go, people to see since I arrived. And I wish that I actually knew my birth story, but I think that the deeper work that I'm embarking upon this year of self-discovery, self-inquiry, and whatnot will lead me back to remember. But to answer your question, I was born joyful. I was a happy baby, happy kid, always smiling. Also, along the path, the road of this so-called life, it's just been doubled down and enhanced upon because of hardships, trials, tribulations, life circumstances, grief at a very young age, not knowing what grief was, grief at, you know, the turn of my 19th birthday, and the greatest grief I've ever experienced in my life to date, and from the loss of a person, and then also the grief of losing myself throughout a period of becoming an entrepreneur, you know, saying that I wanted to do something and then completely giving my power away. So grieving for that girl, you know, gave up, who that girl is me, obviously gave up when she gave up her power, when she succumbed to fear being the boss of her, when she succumbed to letting this other person dictate how valid I was in life, my purpose, my mission, all of these things. So it was a lot of grief along the way that enhances my joy in these moments. Like, I was very transparent with you, Nicole, which I appreciate, and I knew I would be. I messaged you and was like, can we have a little bit later of a start? I don't know what happened within my morning, but for the most part, nothing happened in my morning the way that I'd planned it yesterday, right? And it wasn't to say it was, because there's no good or bad. It was just, it went in a different flow. So me being able to find the joy in that flow of being like, you know, oh, I was supposed to go to this class, I didn't make it. Oh, I was supposed to do this, I didn't make it. And, you know, giving myself grace along the way, because I genuinely enjoy joy. I genuinely enjoy being in a good place. And I'm a genuinely optimistic person. Yeah. That's just always how I've been. But I do have my moments where it's like, okay, we need to take a second. I'm feeling like I'm a little rattled right now. So being able to come back to joy, because I know what it feels like and I know what it tastes like and I know how it settles in my body. It's one of my favorite things ever. I am in pursuit of joy constantly, and having a double down on it, especially like last year, 2023, really, that was the practice of me being in pursuit of joy. That's really when the, like, you know, when things weren't going as planned at all, right? I stayed, yeah, I'm sure. And you definitely know that, gosh. And it's, you know, so again, we're staying in this like optimistic place, but really being optimistic when I'm optimistic versus when my mom died, pretending to be happy when I was just like,
gutted.
Yeah, I'm just like, going through the motions right now. I am not happy, but I'm smiling and I'm joyful, because that's what makes other people around me comfortable. That, you know, happiness, happy people make people happy. And so no one wants to be around someone that's sad, but now it's a pursuit of joy, and peace is the ultimate goal of joy. And so really being in this place of like, okay, peace-filled situations, peace-filled, like, if this is not peaceful, if I'm not feeling peaceful, let me like dial it back. Let me do whatever I need to do to not bypass it, but move through it with a little bit more ease. So hopefully that answers your question.
That's a great answer. I think the more I connect to people that are of like minds, who emanate joy and who truly have done some investigative work on themselves. When you have a baseline of joy, you can manage the hardship differently because you, like you said, you have a taste for it and you know what it's like and you know how fulfilling and worthwhile it is, not only for yourself, but in your interactions. Like everything is better when your baseline is content in that way. That's a weird word, but
yeah,
where you recognize how beautiful and valuable life is. And the crazy thing is how grief, and I've talked about this so many times now, and you just tapped on it, but how grief really fills your joy bucket. It's bananas.
Yeah.
I got in this strange TikTok altercation. Okay. Wow. This is not going to sell TikTok. This. Okay. It's already going downhill. I basically was talking about a friend that is an atheist, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in spirit, doesn't believe in the metaphysics of afterlife. And this woman was just defending the fact that she was like, why would this person have hope? Why would you want them to have false hope? And I got so stuck on that comment because I thought, because your experience on earth can be so joy filled if you have some hope. And what is the alternative? Like maybe you do die and then you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, I could have had all this hope because there is this afterlife. There is this metaphysical experience and spirit and God and all of it does exist. Like what if that's the case? Wouldn't you want to be able to be here in your skin, enjoying yourself just a little bit? I mean, maybe that's ignorant. Maybe I need to be.
It's interesting because it's like they said false hope, but who's to say, how can you say it's false when you just like, yeah,
it doesn't hurt to
just believe in the betterment of self, society, right, community. Not saying that, I mean, I guess I can see both sides of it where it's just kind of like, well, if we're just all doomed, then if you have that perspective, then that's a belief.
For sure. And then that dictates your experience, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
So your next 50 years are going to be doomsville. I don't want to do that.
No.
If I have a choice, thank you. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, thank you. Especially because that could easily be the decision when you walk out. But again, it's all perspective. Like I walk out and yesterday, for example, it was Valentine's Day and I just woke up and I felt this like sweetness of energy in the air. And I felt this sweetness about going about my day, got my workout in, doing, you know, what I do. And I just felt a sweetness in the air. And I know that people have whatever they want to say about Valentine's Day. I don't have a dedicated Valentine. I'm not in a relationship at the moment. And so, but I still could see that I made an active choice. What I realize right now, Nicole, I made a conscious choice to either relish in the sweetness that was in the air, even if it's a commercialized, commoditized, capitalistic holiday, versus in past years been like, oh, I'm all alone. I don't have anybody. All these couples posting their like fake whatever and really just being a hater. You know, it's like, listen, there's space for that too. But how many years are you going to go on being a hater? How many years are you going to go on? And it's like, so what if you don't believe in that? So what if you don't agree with it? Like, that's fine. Like I'm going to hold space for you too, but I'm going to make a conscious choice to say, I'm going to recognize the sweetness in this day. I'm going to recognize the energy in this day. I could have easily just been in a bad mood or like been kind of like, you know, crunchy about it, but it's like, you know, I'm just going to go along like it's a regular day because it is, but I am going to acknowledge the sweetness in the air right now that this holiday does like, you know, bring upon us. So it's good.
I love your language. I love your language. I love sweetness. I love crunchy. Oh, it's because I like food. But also, I just like the way.
Me too.
I just like the way you're explaining that right now. It's so real. That's so real because this is, yesterday was a special holiday for me being that I've lost Matt and we weren't big, like, we didn't do huge gifts at Christmas. That wasn't our love language by any means. And I would have to remind him, like, listen, I do need a card because I'm words of affirmation. If you don't give me a card, I think that you hate me. And this is like, it's a personal problem, but I'm going to need you just to get me a card. He's like, great. Got it. But yesterday I felt the same. I would never have used that language, the sweetness in the air, but that's how I felt because I got to give love. I got to, I don't know if you heard this terrible story where I accidentally replied to the wrong text thread in the group chat. That. And they're like, great. Bo's mom is going to host the Valentine's party. I'm like, no, Bo's mom isn't. No, Bo's mom replied to the wrong thread. And they're like, you got this, Bo's mom. And I was like, oh my God, you sons of, I mean, I love these women. They're epic. This is partly why I didn't want to do it. Cause I'm like, they're amazing at throwing parties. Anywho, I throw this party where I got to make these affirmation boards. Not I got to, these children. I set it up so that the children were making affirmation and compliment boards for one another. And being in that room for an hour and watching their sweet minds at work, complimenting one another, whether or not they were like buddies or not, they had, because they were kind of randomly chosen. So they had to choose and write kind things about each other. You would just see them light up. They would show me their boards and they're like, look at this. I'd be like, you are a good person.
My you gosh.
Are a good listener. You are good at gymnastics. Like, oh, it was just sweet.
I love that so much, Nicole.
Well,
you did so good. You got this, Bo's
Thanks,
mom.
Buddy.
You did so good. I love that. I had the preschoolers yesterday. So I taught at the preschool and then I was at the middle school and I'm doing affirmations in my middle school class now with them. At first I thought like, I don't know, they might think this is like cheesy. I don't know, but we pull a card and then they write in their journals about it. And I'm like, oh my God, these like seventh and eighth grade, like boys are just like all about it. And they write about it. And I'm just so inspired by them. It's really, really great.
I love that you do that. You're like, the exact right person for that job. You're the exact right person. I also noticed a couple kids could not, because the first affirmation was, I think I'm awesome because, and they had to fill it out. Where the other two were, I think so-and-so is awesome because. They were having the hardest time recognizing why they were awesome. And that part I thought was really eye-opening. Mm-hmm. That was, they were having a harder time recognizing the good qualities about themselves. And I'm like, this is an amazing exercise because it starts at home. You know what I mean? It starts, you know, it starts inside. So just to have that language, oh my gosh.
That's powerful. And I think that I might borrow that for next week because that's real. And I think that, I mean, you know better than me because you're a mom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not once a week. But I noticed just kind of, I've been at the school now for, it's 2 years. And I noticed that there was like a difference. And I was like, I don't know if I was this way when I was in middle school, but it's just kind of a, and I think we're all kind of awkward during that age, like 12, 13, like 11, 12, 13, you're all awkward a little bit. Some of us are just like born cool. Like I have one kid who was like, oh, this kid is so cool. I mean, I'm like, wow, he's so cool. It's like, and actually I have a few of them this time that are really like, you know, they're all great, but just kind of, you can tell that they're like real self-aware. But like you said, that starts at home. That starts with self. And so being able to just kind of ask these questions, sit with yourself versus like now they go to a device, you know, like we didn't have devices. We, you know, they go to a device sometimes, unfortunately, to seek validity, to seek what's cool, to have someone else tell them they're cool or what they should care about. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. And I don't remember. I've had this conversation a number of times in real life. And then I think I don't remember who I shared this with, but I noticed in teaching yoga to like the earlier, the younger demographic, I don't know what the generation is called, but around 20 something, there seems to be a disconnect. And it makes sense. They grew up with technology, right? But this is where I think it's incredibly important to have these conversations at home with your young people, because by the time they're 20 and they're already inundated with electronics, they've had them since the first breath. How comfortable are you talking positively about yourself?
Yes.
You're watching other people be awesome. You're watching this world Japanese. I just saw today, Japanese jump roper. Have you seen the Japanese jump ropers?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, I have actually.
They're going 100 million miles per hour. And I'm like, I can't even do one jump.
What? Yeah. Like
what I'm saying is, if you're an impressionable 12-year-old and you see this incredible world trained Japanese jump roper, and you're like, great, I can't even jump rope.
I can't even jump rope. Right. I can't even, you know, I'm just not going to do it because I can't go that fast. Right. You know what? I'm just not even going to do it.
If I had seen today's dancers when I was 16, 17, I'd been like, well, shit, it's done. I'm done. It's over for me. Can't do 87 pirouettes on a finger. Like I can't, what? That's what they're watching. They're watching the extreme of everything.
Yeah.
It's intense.
Mm. Like, I mean, you know, I've said this, you know, before where, okay, so why am I doing, like, come bringing in an intentionality, bringing in my reason why, bringing in grace for myself to say, okay, so I didn't make this class today. I'm also not going to like beat myself up because I can do one later. If I don't do one later, it's okay too. Why am I, where's the need? Where's the intention of movement for me today? Well, or any other day. And it's because it makes me feel really good in my body. It makes me feel grounded. It makes me feel connected. It makes me feel like I'm contributing to something because I'm a part of this, you know, group. And then also I can go out just a little bit lighter throughout my day. And so having all of these intentions, having all these reasons why, versus just kind of like, I'm going to go there and do this because I want to look a certain way. Then when you have those days, those moments, when you pick up a device, you look at something and you compare yourself, well, I'm never going to look like her, or I'm never going to look like him, or I'm never going to look like them, then I'm just not going to do it. Right. So then it again, kind of goes back to, all right, if you look at something, you can be inspired by it. And I saw someone say, I want to be inspired, not influenced.
Ooh.
And I can be inspired by something and influenced to say, okay, influenced to where, yeah, I do want to try that product out because it looks like it's something really cool. And if it doesn't work for me, then that's okay too. You're not influenced and it's not going to make you feel bad because your favorite person that you saw doing it, that you're inspired by, that you were influenced by, rather than being inspired by. So if you're inspired by someone, you're going to try something versus yep. like being influenced by them and try something. And if it doesn't work out, you feel like you're not enough versus yeah. They're my words. There it is. Versus looking at somebody like being like, I'm so inspired by Nicole. I'm going to try whatever she, you know, tells, you know, just put up today. And if it doesn't work for me, cool. I'm still going to be inspired by Nicole. It's not going to go anywhere. And my self-worth isn't going to be leveled down a notch as a result. So
yeah,
it took me a minute to get there, but there we are.
we followed, we were with you the whole time. And to that note about, you know, whether or not you make a class, whether or not you make that commitment, if you have the phone call, if you get the spreadsheet done, whatever it is, it's the kind of segues into my next question for you, which is you have such an interesting take on forgiveness. And how you embody that is an inspiration, but it's also, I want to say, educational. Like the way I've followed your journey and the few things that you post about forgiveness, I think are really beautiful because you've come through a lot and somehow you're always brighter and better for it, which is, sorry, inspiring.
I love that. I love that. You know, and when we last had brunch together, I obviously shared with you some pretty hard stuff that I experienced last year. And I was just so honestly on this like path of like, I just want this out of my body. I want this out of my mind. I want this out of my heart. So I'm going to, you know, practice forgiving them. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them. But that was the same thing I did with dealing with the death of my mother. Okay, mom died. She was sick. It happens. People die. Let's move on. Let's be happy. Let's be happy. Let's be happy. Because several months like later, I realized like, I am not ready to forgive this person. I am not forgiving them at all right now. And if they ever deserve my forgiveness versus like in the way in which it was indoctrined to me from like a, you know, God forgive, so we should forgive sort of rhetoric, which has its place. I was just like, I'm not ready for that. I'm not God. I'm not ready for them to get that from me yet. However, I still am in the practice of forgiveness because as my teacher, Miriam Hosna says, forgiveness is about forgiving someone else, forgiving people their energy back. When I was ready to get this, yes, Miriam Hosna, forgiveness is for-giving someone else their energy back that you've been holding on to, you've been carrying around with you. You've been, you know, ruminating on, you've been making space, they've been living rent-free in your head, all this time, right? So it's a practice though. And it is also, I learned over these last few weeks, something recently about forgiveness and anger, how I used to be really afraid of being angry because it was not a sacred space. It wasn't useful when I got angry because it was displaced. I was still very much grieving the death of my mother. No one was having eloquent conversations with me about grief, you know, death, mourning, all of these sort of things, anger. It was just my first line of defense always when I was growing up. Versus now being in a space was like, I was so angry at them. I was so angry at this person. And I was even more angry at myself, to where it was debilitating to me and it was stopping me in my tracks from really operating in my own authenticity, operating in my own energy. So I had to get back and double down in my pursuit of forgiveness, forgiving someone else, like their energy back. I don't need that energy anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's what it means. Like, I was ready to get this person out of my spirit, out of my mind, out of my heart, get their energy out of me. And what was keeping it there was me being angry at them and not addressing the anger that I felt. It was like, I'm angry and I'm allowed to be angry. Being angry is also not going to change what happened. So then I learned another thing of like double down in anger, right? Where it's like, it's sure you can be angry, but it's also, according to my teacher, like what I learned recently, which really sits well with me, is two, it maybe it doesn't for those of you who are out there listening, take what you need, leave what you don't. But it was wrapped up in a little bit of delusion, because you're like, I am angry because they didn't do what I wanted them to do. I'm angry because I didn't do what I said I was going to do. So you're disillusioning yourself by thinking you can go back and change the events of what just happened. You're also angry at someone who you're expecting to be different than who they are, which is like, we're walking around like, yeah, I know it's like the big DeLulu land, but it's like, it was a big DeLulu land you're walking around. And if you think being angry is going to shift how someone is going to operate and move in their day to day, you're sorely mistaken. I'm sorry to be the bearer of truth for you, but that's not going to work. That's not how it works. Also, too, if you're walking around saying, holding all of this venom and whatnot for a person that you refuse to forgive, you're wrapping that up. It's a tight little bow of anger and forgiveness is right there. It's a tight little bow that you're operating, that you're walking around, that's just having little pockets around your body, being the boss of you. So that's why I said I had this perspective on forgiveness, and I still very much believe in forgiveness. And I love forgiveness because I've been forgiven tons of times. And I pray that, you know, if I do something to someone to hurt someone's feelings, that they forgive me, right? Versus, and the same way I can forgive someone else. But there's levels to it for sure. And Dr. Fred Luskin talks about this in his book, Forgive for Good. It's like, listen, you got to be ready. And that's the first step, acknowledging what happened at one, and two, really being ready. And so sometimes that being ready takes 20 years. It took me 20 years to forgive my ex-stepfather for the terror he rained on my house growing up. 20 years. And so I was able to authentically forgive him because I was no longer angry. I was no longer angry. And when I'm no longer angry, you can really operate from a place. You can really start to operate from a place of forgiveness. Because if you're mad, then stay mad. Stay mad as long as you need to stay mad. But just know that it's going to be, there's a lie, that's a layer of delusion that's sitting right at the top of that anger that is not going to change the past, the events of what happened, or how people are going to operate in their day-to-day, in their authenticity, and in their truth.
I'm speechless. I want everybody just to go back. We're going to rewind. We're going to listen to that one more time. And then we're going to transcript it, cross our foreheads, and tattoo. How's your finger, by the way? I was with Ace when she got a tattoo on her finger. Your finger?
Oh,
okay?
My gosh. It's so good. It hurts so bad.
Super traumatizing for me to watch and for you to go through 100 million%. I just thank you for the last however long that was. What was that, 6 minutes? That was the greatest 6 minutes I've had in a long time. You just opened a whole portal in my brain. I'm moved.
It's hard,
by that.
And Nicole, it's hard to hear. It's really hard to hear because some people are going to be like, "What? I'm a, you know, do whatever you're going to do." But it's like, I'm telling you, for me, the minute I heard my teacher break it down like that, my heart cracked open. I started to cry my eyes out.
Oh,
because
I
was
it.
Just like, I was so angry. And this was like 2 weeks ago. I was so mad. And I was like, not thinking the way that I normally think about situations. I wasn't up because I was forcing. And also it didn't feel forced, but I was like forcing myself to feel like, okay, I just want to forgive, but also like, nope, I'm mad. They don't get my forgiveness. They don't get this. They don't get that. And it's like, okay, but also you could still continue carrying around this person's energy. And there's levels to it. There's levels. I'm please don't come at me and say that I want you to forgive every single person that's harmed you right here, right now. I am not saying that. And I'm not saying that anger has no place, because it absolutely does, if it's with intention. However, you have to know that if you're going to stay angry, or may I offer you this, not have to, if you're going to stay angry, if you're going to stay in this place of where you are right now, just be conscious about it. Because if you're conscious about it, then you're in control. And if you're not in control, then someone else is. And then ergo, someone else's energy minding your day.
Will you marry me?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I've been waiting since I was like on the sweating still.
When I get so moved, I just have to ask. I have a lot of wives and I'm not gay. I have to say it every episode, but like, I just get real excited. And then, okay, wow.
I have a lot of wives too, and I'm not gay.
You know
gay.
What I'm saying? Like, it's worth it.
Yeah, totally. It's
trophy wives. You're my trophy. I also have this thought that the truth is on time. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. And when it comes to processing anger and the hurt that people have gone through over time, and it in the instance of taking 20 years or 30 years or whatever it is, when you're ready to feel the truth, it's right on time.
Yep.
You can't push it. You can't.
Yep.
That's kind of a cool part about life, I think.
Yeah. I love that. That's it. That's it. Like, I recognize, even going back to the moments as I was like driving, you know, with a girlfriend of mine, we went on the road trip up to San Francisco driving, and I could feel, but what was happening was, versus like a long time ago, it was almost like I was having these outer body experiences of grief, of, you know, frustration, of anger, of unforgiveness, of resentment. Versus now, I'm very much in my body. I'm very much crystal clear about what is happening. I know why, I know where, and I know whom, I know all the things, and I'm very crystal clear and conscious about it. So I was able to release it when it was time to release it. But if you're not conscious about it, if you're operating, which a lot of us do, because we're operating in, unfortunately, this show, as you mentioned at the top of our chat, where a lot of us are walking around unconscious, we're unwell, we're dehydrated, we're not moisturized, like I like to say, we're undernourished, we aren't hugged, we're not getting enough sunlight, we aren't moving our body enough, we aren't getting enough fresh air. It's just so many things upon it stacks up. So there's a lot of cards stacked against some of us, right? There's a lot of cards stacked against some of us. And some of us, like, I'm too tired to knock down another card. I'm too tired to knock down another wall. That's why, for me, my yoga, my teachers, my medicine, me writing, me, you know, taking a second to sit, to stand in the sun, to sit in my car, to buy expensive lattes, you know, like smoothies, is all a part of all. It's all there. It's all a part of like how I'm able to be who I am and what I'm doing today. Like, truly, and being able to be a conscious member of society.
Yeah. And that's when you're most effective.
Absolutely.
You're only making change and shift when, I keep using the word unearthed. It's like my word of the month. But when you've unearthed yourself, and that's,
yeah.
In this instance, it's like re-earthing, because we're so disconnected from earth. We're disconnected from the sunlight. We're disconnected from our moisture. We're disconnected from community, the hugs, everything you're talking about. Like, I go outside every day barefoot. This is Alabama talking, okay? So judge me if you will, but I love being barefoot. I go outside, I stand in my grass, and I just let myself ground down. And I swear on all that is holy, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Just a few minutes of that, sometimes longer. Yeah. Sometimes I'll just stand there barefoot in my grass, eyes closed, sun beaming down on my face. And it's like,
beautiful.
We're recharging.
Yeah.
We're re-earthing. Because You got to remember, sadly, we have to remember who we are and how deeply connected we are to this.
That's right.
This physical realm and spiritual, but mm-hmm. Yeah. Bless. Wait, to go Bless. Back. Okay, sorry. I'm gonna try and tie this up. To go back, I know that yoga was a huge trans sequitur. It was like a big right turn for you when you found it. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Sure. I would love to. Yoga saved my life. So I took my first heated yoga class when I was working on an assignment in Chicago. I had this job after I graduated from Auburn, War Eagle. And I got the job where I was living in a new city and state every 6 to 8 weeks. Lease an apartment. And so I was on this assignment in Chicago and I stumbled upon a yoga studio. I went in, or someone actually recommended, because I was running a lot then. I was running to like 6 to 8 miles a day or something. And they recommended yoga as a complement to my running. And so I was like, cool, I'm going to check it out. And so I did. And I had no idea about the body then, emotions being held in the body, anything. I just went to this athletic, more or less based hot yoga class to get a good sweat in. And my whole world shifted at that time. After that first class, I said, what is this secret magic sauce that has been hidden from me and so many other people that I know for too long, or that I know that could use this? Mm. And so then I kept going back and I kept going back and I said, I want to bring this to my community. And I wasn't building a community at that time. I was just, you know, a couple people within a company traveling the country by myself. So it was like, for now, I'm just going to keep doing my own thing, doing my practice. There weren't nearly as many heated yoga studios as there are now. So, but anywhere I would go, I would always seek one out. Most of them always ended up being like the 26 and 2 series, mm-hmm. which is like the same thing, same sequence every single time, which I loved, because it was like the last thing I wanted to do at that time was think about anything at the end of the day or before I go into the office. And then I just kept at it. And I knew that I wanted to be a yoga teacher. I didn't know how or even what that looked like. And then finally, when I set up shop here in Los Angeles, I said, okay, I'm not moving around anymore. Okay, I have a job where I have weekends off. So let's do this. It's time. And so I, 8 years ago, actually, this month, on the 22nd, I believe, was 8 years ago when I completed my first yoga teacher training. And it has been up since then. I found any opportunity to teach. I was like, okay, pay me, don't pay me, I don't care. I just want to teach this because it saved my life. It helped me to start grieving the death of my mother. It helped me to understand emotions. It helped me to sweat differently. Growing up as an athlete, I was just always used to active as a way to sweat. But sweating with intention, intentions, affirmations, chakras, breath, like mudras, like all of these things that have come into practice for me over these last 8 years. Now I'm on this journey of embarking upon my 300-hour yoga teacher training with my amazing teacher, Rebecca Riviera, and we're in our second week. And it has been, again, unearthing to re-earth. It's been re-earthing, like you said, unearthing to re-earth, because it's like, oh, shoot. Like, wow. Okay. I thought I was talking about the chakras. I thought I knew about them. I thought I knew this. I thought I knew that. But you just scratched the surface of something, obviously, that's been around for 5,000 plus years. Like, no one's ever going to get to all of it in one lifetime. Mm. But yeah, so now in the practice of ritual and grounding and understanding how, because I wasn't one that's like, let me set an altar, let me do this, let me do that. I was never really that type of person. And I'm just getting into practice of like bringing an altar everywhere I am now. Like when I went to Zambia and Zimbabwe last year, it was like I brought my altar with me. Maybe this is the Aries fire energy of mine, but I feel like everything has to be a big to do. And then in this, like this journey, no, everything could just be as like simple as bringing pyrite in your bag for the day, or bringing a, what do I have? Like, or burning Palo Santo just around your space and that be your ritual.
Yep.
Or having, you know, and bringing that with you on the road, bringing a little candle so you can light it, so you can make sure that you ground wherever you are, meaning that, you know, go back to one of my favorite phrases, wherever you go, that's where you are, right? And for so long, traveling, I wasn't anywhere because I was only somewhere, or I didn't think I was anywhere because I didn't have any sort of grounding ritual practice to say, you're here in Detroit for 8 weeks, or you're here in Indianapolis for 8 weeks, which that only lasted for like three, thank God.
no hate, Indianapolis. We love you. We love you.
Yeah, no hate to Indianapolis, but it was assignment specific, okay? And then going to another city, and then going to another city, and then going to another city. But I was just kind of, you know, rolling around the country, just rolling, but not realizing that the ritual in the movement, there was ritual in that. There was structure in that, even if it wasn't the structure of waking up in the same place every single day, going into an office. So yoga has been this journey for me that's always just like uncovering so many new things. Like the fact that I get to teach kids yoga now, I would have never 8 years ago when I embarked upon this, I thought I was just going to be teaching adults. I didn't even consider children, but now it's just being able to teach them, watch their eyes light up, see them at their different stages, see how they grow, how they like are just so love and so pure. And honestly, it intimidated me for a while, like initially, because I was like, I don't know, kids, I mean, they be telling the truth. And I don't know if I'm ready to be read like by a 4-year-old, but they will let you know what it is. And you might cry in the car later, but guess what? You'll be stronger next week when you come back and better. Right. So it's
it's too true. It's accurate.
And so, yeah, that's for me, is yoga has been the game changer, man. And it's a personal conscious journey that is ever evolving. And my favorite thing to do is to see people light up when they see the evolution that they've invited into their lives for themselves. So that's like my favorite thing ever.
I love that statement. Just tack that on with all the rest of them. You got a bunch of tweetable moments in here, Ace. I don't know.
I love that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just, you're beautiful. Okay. We're going to wrap this up, but I didn't tell you this part. I like to finish with a little rapid fire situation where I'm going to give you a word and then you say what you think or what comes to mind or a story or a baka, baka, baka.
Okay.
Okay. Ready? It's only five. It's only five.
Okay.
Healthy.
Ooh, sunlight.
I love it. Big fan. Big fan. Happy.
Oh, Lady Bell, the cat.
Oh, that's your cat?
That's my cat. And then Sir Reggie, rest in peace. Sir Reggie. Lost him a year ago. But yeah, happy as Lady Bell.
Oh, I love it. Wealthy.
Ooh, wealthy. Gosh, it's inspiring and it's rooted. It's lineage.
Ooh.
It's a birthright.
Oh. I just got chills. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Wise. I was going to say wisdom. Wise or wisdom.
Children. The eyes of children. They will teach you more than you could ever pick up in a book. The eyes of children just hold, I believe, the soul of God. You know, where you're just kind of like, you're looking at them because they only see you. For you, they only see what's in front of them, and they trust themselves, and they know their intuition, and they're just like embodied, you know. And even the tender ones, even the shy ones, they still hold the same weight. So I'd say children are some of the wisest teachers. I can't wait to be a mom.
No, you're gonna crush it. You're gonna, and you should host all the parties, and you'll be great. And I'll, yeah.
Add me to the group chat.
I'll add you to the group chat.
They'll be like, does she have a kid here?
She doesn't, but she's going to host that Thanksgiving party. Okay. Thank you. Finally, last, free.
Oh my gosh. Me.
Oh,
I'm free. Like me. Me, like conscious body, you know, accepting myself, being in this place of like, that's cool. That's who I am. And knowing that I get to grow and I get to change and I get to shift every day. That's freedom.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I love you. We're married now.
We're married.
You also you guys witnessed our marriage, and thank you for coming. It's a surprise marriage.
Send us gifts. Thanks.
No China though. I don't know what to do with that. I will take a ninja bullet blender. Okay. You're just my favorite. I love you so much. I thank you for your time. I respect you. I have learned from you today, which I knew I was going to. And it just fills my heart with absolute gratitude and so much appreciation. I love you.
I love you. I'm so proud of you, Nicole. You, this is really a beautiful gift that you're giving your spirit right now, and you're giving your heart. And I know it's tender. So well done to just kind of keep showing up, but then in all your full glory and beauty and strength and softness at the same time. So I'm really proud of you, my friend, not because of your strength, but because you are both, and you're tender, you're sweet, and you're strong. So I'm really proud of you.
Thank you for seeing me. I love you. I love you. Thank you so much for listening to Shockin' Y'all today. This is a passion project like no other, and it wouldn't be possible without your support. Please like, download, follow, share, which sounds like a lot, so maybe just one of those will suffice. Please check out my online programming at sweatandstillness.com. Grab a copy of my best-selling children's book, Yoked, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I hope you gathered plenty of light nuggets and personal downloads from today's episode. I will see you next time. Okay, I love you. Bye.